Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Before we get back into some D-Hop tea, a little bit of breaking news coming out of New York that Peter Laviolette has been hired as the New York Rangers' next head coach. Willie, which number of franchise is this that Peter Laviolette has been the head coach? Over,
you
under 25.
I think I've lost count. It is unbelievable. I think by 2050, he will have coached every team in the NHL and probably at least won twice, because I call it the Lavi train. He just keeps going. He goes in. He's taken three different teams to the final. That's including one right here in Nashville. He originally played for the Rangers, so this is kind of a natural fit in some ways. It's kind of interesting that he's never coached there before. He's from Boston, so probably he's going to coach the Bruins at some point, right? It's just it's amazing how he's got this thing where he comes in, he energizes your team, and then after probably three or four years, he's ready to go on to the next stop. So let's go through it. He was an assistant for the Bruins, never the head coach, in 2000.
Always.
Then
a
he got the Islanders job. Yep, Islanders job. And a lot of people thought he should have gotten the Bruins job, but they went a different direction. He took the Islanders job, and he was there for 2 years. Made the playoffs twice, got fired after the second year.
Gosh.
Then he went to Carolina. Got to Carolina. He replaced Paul Maurice, who's now the coach of the Panthers, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes to Carolina. They won the Stanley Cup in his second year, 2006. Then a couple years later, he gets fired, and guess who replaced him? Paul Maurice.
He
succeeded Paul Maurice, and then Paul Maurice succeeded him in Carolina. So where does he go? He goes to the Flyers, leads them in his first year to the Cup Finals, very first year. And then a couple years later, he spends – so 5 years, he gets – his fifth year in Philly, he gets fired after three games. And then the following year, he takes over the Predators. He leads them to an enormous first season. Nobody expected them to be that good. They lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks, but they actually – people forget this. They actually finished higher than the Blackhawks in the regular season standings. They had home ice advantage in that playoff series, even though they ended up losing it. So we know his history in Nashville, then on to Washington. So let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is his sixth team in the NHL.
Six and counting.
Six and counting.
But he's the only coach that has coached both of the New York teams.
Yeah, I mean, so there's another one. Why not complete the trifecta and go right down
Jersey.
The road? Yeah. At some point. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, he'll get there.
He'll get there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Be
there in 3 to 5.
Whenever D-Mace is at Zanies. Exactly.
Peter when Lovey I go to Zanies, Peter will go to Jersey.
I do have to wonder.
He's a winner.
Though.
He's a winner, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is.
Guy, three different teams to the finals. He's got a great track record. He's racking up the wins on the all-time list. He and John Tortorella, by far, are the two highest winning coaches in NHL history, who are American-born. He's from Franklin, Mass. So Peter Laviolette's back in business. Wasn't out long. So out in Washington, in New York.
I have to wonder, what took the Rangers so long?
That is interesting.
You just highlighted Peter Laviolette's entire resume, and it was John Hines and Peter Laviolette. And Peter Laviolette has a much better resume than John Hines does. Peter Laviolette played for the Rangers. Like you said, it does feel just like a very natural fit. And now we're here on June 13th, and they're just now hiring him now?
Yeah, it seemed like there was a process that took a couple of weeks once his name emerged. I do think there were other teams that were interested. I do think Columbus was interested in him also. For a while, that was the case, but it got to a point where he wasn't going anywhere else. So I wonder what the situation was. I don't know if we'll get answers to that or not. That's a question maybe for Elliot too, when we talk to him on Thursday. Quite a ride.
And quickly, Willie, just your thoughts on now that Peter Laviolette has been hired in New York, where does that leave John Hines? Do you think that he'll be hired as an assistant in New York?
I don't know about an assistant in New York. I don't know. I don't think there's any history between Laviolette and Hines. I can probably put a good bet on Kevin McCarthy, who is a great guy. Cato, they call him, right? He seems to go everywhere Laviolette goes. So it's like Batman and Robin, like wherever he goes, that's his right-hand man. You know, think about your favorite cop show or whatever. Those guys are partners for sure. So John Hines, that's a really good question. There are no more head coaching vacancies now. But let's not forget the best attribute John Hines has is that he has a tremendous network of coaching. He's been a lot of different places. So I think through his coaching tree, Boston University, that network, he knows a lot of people. It would not surprise me if he got an assistant coaching job. What I don't know is how many of those positions are filled by this time. Here we are in mid-June, right? So the merry-go-round may have stopped in a lot of places. So I wish him well. He's getting paid no matter what happens. He also has a history in the U.S. developmental program that goes way back. So USA Hockey could be something for him. Remember, he was going to be the assistant coach for the Olympic team a couple years ago, but COVID stopped it. Remember the whole China thing? Do we want to send people to China with COVID going on? You could get quarantined and your life, you could be stuck there for 2 months. There's these horror stories. So that never happened. But he's very closely tied in with USA Hockey too. So that could be a landing spot.
Yeah, Willie makes a good point. Dan Muse is currently the head coach of the USA, just their whole development program. So that's a good little tie. Yep. He could be one of their
former
assistants.
Assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah, former Preds assistant who worked with John Hines.
Interesting. Again, if you missed it, Peter Laviolette has been hired as the New York Rangers head coach, and that is just the next stop on Peter Laviolette's little game of life, little game of hockey coaching. Lavi was a Rolling Stone.
Absolutely.
Lavi was a Rolling Stone. No question.
Lavi was a Rolling Stone. 615-737-1025. Let's get back into DeAndre Hopkins. We heard from John McClain on Chase and Michelle earlier that DeAndre Hopkins wants the money, and the figure that he has been hearing is $10 million. Now that we know what D-Hop, and it has been, you know, said by at least John McClain, confirmed by John McClain, that is DeAndre Hopkins' priority, does that take any team out of contention? We will explain coming up next, and of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
My sense is that all of those teams, specifically Kansas City and Buffalo, because New York already said we're good, we basically like our group. The Jets said that. But my sense is that Buffalo and Kansas City would both be interested. But considering, for example, Leonard Floyd just got paid, you know, Kansas City, yes, they lost Hardman and Juju, but they also have to make a decision now coming up on Tony. Obviously, they're going to restructure a couple deals, but I always felt like that was the best fit for him because I just would love to see him teamed up with Kelce and Mahomes. But it just comes back to money again. Like, at face value, having Hopkins is a great thing. But when you have $1 million or $2 million in cap space and you still have several decisions to make, several guys to pay in the next year, it becomes very complicated.
That was Jordan Schultz of The Score on with Stillman and Company yesterday. Jordan Schultz reported yesterday that the visit was quote-unquote successful with the Tennessee Titans, and both sides, DeAndre Hopkins and his people and the Tennessee Titans and their people, will remain in contact as DeAndre Hopkins continues on his free agency tour of 2023. He's headed to New England tomorrow, and per Jordan Schultz, he is open to scheduling more visits in the future. So Jordan Schultz from The Score on with Stillman and Company yesterday saying that teams like the Bills and Kansas City, teams that have been tied to DeAndre Hopkins since the very beginning, ever since Arizona cut DeAndre Hopkins, that those teams would still be interested, but the price would be right because both the Bills and the Chiefs have a pretty tight money situation. So now hearing what we heard from John McClain was on with Chase and Michelle earlier saying that for DeAndre Hopkins, money is the number one thing, which I think we all kind of already thought, just being confirmed by John McClain. If money is the number one thing for DeAndre Hopkins, can we cross off the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills as contenders for DeAndre Hopkins, knowing that both of those teams are going to have to be incredibly conservative with the rest of their payroll this season?
Well, I mean, we got to count, especially after the news has come out with Buffalo and Diggs and them worried about whether Diggs is going to be at minicamp. So it's like, okay, what's going on here? Is he a disgruntled employee? Does he feel that, you know, the Bills, he doesn't see himself getting to a Super Bowl with the Bills, so he wants out? He wants more money. What is it? So the Bills must have a contingency plan in place just in case they may have to trade Stephon Diggs. So that may open up a situation where they can then bring a hop in and possibly give him what he wants or close to what he wants. I don't know what New England's situation is as far as money-wise, but I know that they got rid of their best receiver last year, Jacoby Myers. He ended up, I forget where he went, but he led the team with 800 yards. The next two guys who are predicted starters, Devontae Parker, he had 500 yards, and I think it's Tyquan or Thornhill, I think that's his name. He had like 300 or 400 yards. So right now in the depth chart, that those are their two starters. So bringing Hop in, you know, that would upgrade their receiving room just a bit better than what it was last year. I'm not saying it's going to take them from barely not making the playoffs into the Super Bowl, but it does help a quarterback that they're trying to figure out if this is the guy or not. You know, D-Hop would help, you know, in that situation. I think there's going to be a few more players in this. And I just told you, Carolina, I think New England's going to put an offer on the table before he leaves. Now, whether he takes it or not, it's a different story. But I just believe they will offer him a contract. They'll try not to let him out the building. They will.
I mean, no way for me to know. I said earlier in the show, I feel like if you're DeAndre Hopkins, you're patient. You wait, and you create competition. If you can get some momentum going, you know, you might have a bunch of teams starting off going, I'm not sure. Then you have these meetings, and you start thinking about it. You start selling yourself that this could work. You look around, see if you could find some extra money. You justify things. I mean, there's just a lot of ways that the picture can change if you sort of wait it out from – because I keep coming back to this. As much as his season was flawed last year, I mean, there is a case for a bounce back. The medicals are important, as we get discussed last hour. You got to get some answers on that. But I think if he can convince people that he's healthy, then that price just might go up because he's the only guy out there that could be a difference-making wide receiver that is on the market.
Now, I mean, it does seem as if you're talking about cap space, it does seem as if New England may have some cap space here. But it just all depends on where the team is at from a money standpoint. We sort of know, in a sense, where the Titans are at, but I'm sure they can move some things around if they really wanted him and can pay him. I think every team that may be in the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes, if they really wanted him, they will move money around to try to get him on their team. So I'm not.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So I'm not looking at this as, oh, there's no team that can sign him. No, I think any team can sign him. They just got to find a way to be able to fit that if they are close to the cap or over the cap. They got to find a way to, make it so they can sign him.
I am not completely eliminating the Bills and the Chiefs from contention and the DeAndre Hopkins mm-hmm. sweepstakes. I just think that it's the chances are much, much, much slimmer. Because like Jordan Schultz said on Stillman & Company yesterday, the Bills and the Chiefs would be interested. Of course, I think that any team in the league would be interested at upgrading at the wide receiver position, at landing a DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's exaggerating. Like, if I'm the Bengals, I'm good on receivers. If I'm the Jets, I'm good on receivers. But any team that views itself as needing an upgrade at the receiver position or a contender that's just a DeAndre Hopkins away, I think any of those teams, and I think that's a good chunk of teams in the NFL, should be and would be interested in DeAndre Hopkins. So it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that the Chiefs and the Bills would still be on board. They're not taking their hand completely out of the middle of the table for the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes. But Brandon Bean was on with Pat McAfee about a week ago. And Brandon Bean said something along the lines of, you know, he is going to demand a big contract. This was Brandon Bean on Pat McAfee.
It would definitely have to fit within, you know, how we would fit a structure of a salary and all that. So never ruling it out, but know he's a good player and he'll probably command a decent contract.
That, to me, the way that I interpret that is, yeah, we love DeAndre Hopkins, but we just don't know if we have the money for it. We don't know that we're going to be able to afford it. Like Brandon Bean said, he's going to demand a decent contract. The Buffalo Bills are second in the NFL in most cash spent mm-hmm. and have the second lowest amount of cap space available. The Kansas City Chiefs are 32nd, that they have the fewest amount of cap space available. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs are, where did I just lost him? 18th in the league in cash spent, but they also don't have a whole lot of cap space available. Of course, like you said, you can move things around. You can make it fit for DeAndre Hopkins. But if both of those teams are thinking about the cash and the money and how little of those resources they may have available and how DeAndre Hopkins is looking to get paid, rightfully so, and I think that's totally fine, he's looking for a decent contract. Those teams just don't necessarily have the capital to offer that. While I'm not completely eliminating them from contention, I don't think that they are going to be as competitive of suitors for DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, for one, let me correct that. New England did sign Juju Smith-Schuster. I forget about that. So he's part of the fold now right. there in New England. So they have them a veteran guy that is coming off of a Super Bowl winning year and coming off a year where he sort of rehabbed his play there with Kansas City. Let's not rule out Kansas City for this point. And I've always wondered about it, and I've mentioned this plenty of times on this air. How many of these quarterbacks are going to take the Tom Brady route? Meaning, give me my players. I take less. I don't need to be the highest paid player, highest paid quarterback, even though I should be, but I don't want to be because I want to continue to win. What happened? He ended up winning 7 Super Bowls because of that. It seems like one other guy is headed down that path too, Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow maybe, I don't know yet, but Patrick Mahomes, I think, because he understands this. Listen, I'm a Chief forever. I'm not going anywhere. This is my team. They're not going to let me walk out the building. So how do we then, if I know I'm not ever leaving until I choose to retire, they've redid his contract once, moved some money around once. They can do it again. And I'm sure he would be willing to do it again if it means bringing in a bona fide pass catcher to continue to help them on their quest to win more Super Bowls. So don't count New England, don't count Kansas City out. Just because they may not have the money now, they can always rework their quarterbacks and possibly even Travis Kelce contract. Add another year or two to Travis Kelce or do something because those are the two guys that I think will retire Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes I know will, and Kelce more than likely will. So if I can have those two guys move some money around with those two guys to open up an avenue for DeAndre Hopkins, then I'm sure at least the quarterback would do that.
Yeah, I'm not eliminating the Chiefs from contention mm-hmm. at all. I'm just saying that I think the odds are a little bit slimmer because yeah. the Chiefs won them. They can make it work. Mm-hmm. Any team in the league could make it work for DeAndre Hopkins. It just depends on how much gymnastics you're really willing to do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Willie pulled the numbers. pre-Kyler Murray injury versus post-Kyler Murray injury. What did DeAndre Hopkins look like? What was his production like? And do we think it's worthwhile for the Tennessee Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. And hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the News and Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get all of his thoughts on the DeAndre Hopkins visit to Tennessee, the DeAndre Hopkins visit to New England, any tea that Tim has heard on the DeAndre Hopkins front. But before we get into that, Willie D has combined the numbers, has crunched the numbers, has looked into the data and the statistics and the analytics. DeAndre Hopkins pre-Kyler Murray injury, DeAndre Hopkins post-Kyler Murray injury. What are your takeaways, Willie?
Well, I don't know if I have the analytics more than kind of a simple view here. But,
I was just throwing
you know, yesterday
words.
We talked a lot about the analytics being very poor overall for his season last year. DeAndre Hopkins is a big drop-off from what he had previously been, which is, you know, obviously a first-rate wide receiver. Even the year that he got hurt, which would have been 2021, he was having a very productive year. He was number 19 in the rankings for Football Outsiders. And one thing that came up yesterday was, hey, look, Arizona was a train wreck last year. They faltered badly at the end of the season. And, you know, how could anybody have had a productive year last year, especially considering that Kyler Murray had a season-ending injury? So I went back and looked because I don't, you know, they were 4-13 on the year. We know DeAndre Hopkins sat out the first six games because he was suspended for PEDs. So I couldn't remember exactly when did Kyler Murray get hurt, how many games did he play with DeAndre Hopkins, et cetera. So this is what I did today. Mm-hmm. Here, he played three games with Kyler Murray, only three. New Orleans, a win, and that was week number seven, his first game back. And he had 10 catches for 103 yards, 14 targets. You know, one thing we talked about a lot, he was targeted 96 times last year in only nine games. So he gets the ball thrown to him a lot. 14 targets, 10 catches, 103 yards. You know, not bad. That's not a
solid
huge yards per. Mm-hmm. It sounds great for your fantasy team. I'm sure it got you big points, and they won the game. So it was effective to that point. So that looks like a pretty good DeAndre Hopkins day. The next week, they lost at Minnesota 34-26. I don't know if it got close at the end. I haven't looked that closely, but he had 12 catches on 13 targets for 159 yards. And a touchdown. This is still while Kyler Murray is intact. Then the next week, they lost to the Seahawks 31-21. He had only four catches for 36 yards in that game. I'm not sure. And they had five targets in that game. So I'm not really sure why all of a sudden the targets went way down that particular game. But that was the last game and this was November the 6th. That was the last game that Kyler Murray played. So three games with Murray, he caught 26 out of 32 targets for 298 yards and a touchdown. So that sounds a lot more like DeAndre Hopkins kind of numbers, right? Then Murray is out, and he played four games with Colt McCoy as the starter. And his numbers, they don't look quite the same. He's still catching some decent targets. He's getting thrown the ball a lot, but the yards aren't there. They beat the Rams. He caught 10 passes for only 98 yards, 14 targets. The following week, they played San Francisco, very tough defense. Nine catches, only 91 yards, so not a ton of yards per catch, 12 targets. Then the following week, they lost to the Chargers, 25-24, four catches for 87 yards on six targets. And then finally, the Patriots, they lost to them 27-13, seven catches for 79 yards on 11 targets. So these sound like decent numbers, but the efficiency isn't quite what it had been. But if you, it looks to me like his yards per catch went down a little bit when McCoy was running the offense, and then McCoy got hurt. This is the other thing. He played two games after that with Trace McSorley as the quarterback.
Who they managed did to, not to have a bad little campaign for himself at the end of last season.
And so he caught seven passes for 60 yards and a loss to Denver. Denver, we know, is an awful team, but they do have a good defense, or they did have a good defense last year. And then he caught only – this is the one that really probably skews the numbers that I didn't realize. The last game that Hopkins played was McSorley quarterbacking against Tampa Bay. Ugly game. 19-16 is the final. Yeah. 10 targets, only one catch for 4 yards. So if you take that game out, I think his numbers probably look a little bit better. You know, if you take that game out, he would have 86 targets, 63 receptions for 713 yards in 8 games. So if you threw that game out, you know, maybe his ranking goes up some. I'd have to take a look at that. But I think it was interesting to kind of look back and say, you know, if Kyler Murray had played the entire year, the numbers probably would have looked a lot better. We could probably make that assumption, right?
Yes, because those two have a rapport. But he still seems like, okay, listening to you, in hearing those numbers, he's a volume guy, at this
yes.
point, because nothing is really going down the field. Now, listen, they can scheme him to get down the field. Every offensive coordinator worth their salt can scheme a guy to get downfield. And that's what you would have to do with D-Hop, because the foot speed really has never been there. But since the injuries, he's getting a little bit older. He has taken another sort of half a step back or a step back. Not to say he still can't go out there and perform. I think he can. But he's a volume guy. He needs the volume. And can he get that volume here? He may be able to get it other places. Can he get that volume here? Or if they're not giving him the volume, they have to scheme him to where he's getting chunk yardage. And the play action may work, it may bode well for him with Derrick Henry in the backfield. So you don't have to necessarily run vertical routes. We can run a deep end. Titans are known for that. That 12, 14-yard in route off the play action, that would be a good route for D-Hop. So now he can catch it and get up the field. And get some yardage that way, as opposed to trying to run a 9 or a post that more than likely he's not going to win the foot race. He may go up and get it, but he's not going to win the foot race.
And I think another important thing to remember here, too, is Tim Kelly knows how to use DeAndre Hopkins. I know that we are three, four years removed from the Tim Kelly and DeAndre Hopkins marriage in Houston, but he knows what D-Hop is best at. He's been able to get the most out of DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I know, I'm fully aware that was a Deshaun Watson and D-Hop matchup versus a Ryan Tannehill and DeAndre Hopkins matchup. That's going to look a bit different. 2023 D-Hop versus 2018-2019 D-Hop is going to look a bit different. But at least those two already know, you know, Tim Kelly knows how DeAndre Hopkins work, and we've seen DeAndre Hopkins work and be, you know, emphasized in a Tim Kelly offense. But Willie, kind of your overall takeaways from those numbers, do you feel any differently today than you did yesterday looking at the efficiency? Because look, I said yesterday and I stand by it, I don't care about the efficiency. Don't care. Do not care.
You he gotta care about the efficiency.
Better. Why?
Well, Derek makes a great point, okay? This is and so I'll meet you halfway, Caroline. I do think it's reasonable to say that the efficiency numbers would have been considerably higher had Kyler Murray, who was not having a great year, by the way,
you know,
even
Colt
at the time
McCoy.
He got hurt. But yeah, and Colt McCoy, the numbers dropped a little bit with McCoy, especially the ability to throw the ball down the field. And obviously, McCoy is not the runner that Murray is, not the weapon he is. And then there was a fall off the cliff with Trace McSorley. And then, like I think we've all been wondering, you know, what happened the last two games? He didn't play. And so you're wondering, did he really want to play? You know, the last game he played, 10 targets for one catch. Maybe he was hurt at that point in that game.
And he could have been.
So yeah, you can put some context with those numbers here.
Right.
So maybe it was not a fall off the cliff kind of season. There were reasons for it. But Derek makes a really good point. If he is used to getting the ball thrown to him 10 or more times a game routinely, and you have to make that a big part of your game plan, can he adjust in his role for whatever new team he's in? Or is he thinking, look, I'm still the same guy I've always been. Set the offense around me. Because it's one thing to say I got 10 catches for 98 yards. Mm-hmm. But what happens on those 10 catches? How many of those are moving the chains? How many of those are successful catches, keeping drives alive? You know, these are all fair questions to throw out there. And that's where I don't know. You can't just look at the raw numbers, because the raw numbers don't look that bad. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder about the efficiency. But I am willing to say for sure there was a pretty significant drop off, especially after Colt McCoy got hurt.
Yeah, but again, I think it boils down to, you know, him at this stage of his career. And say if he does come to Tennessee, you got to find a way to incorporate him into this offense in a way that he's going to stay engaged. Mm-hmm. Again,
he's high maintenance. It's hard from a game plan.
Exactly. It's hard to go from getting targeted 160 something time a game, times a year, or 10 to 12 times a game, to maybe 100 times, if that, a year, and 4 to 5 times a game. I'm just saying on average. It's hard for a receiver, or it's hard for any player that has, you know, has developed a reputation in this league as being one of those guys, those dominant guys, which he has. And you know, you don't even think about it. You know in a game, before the game even starts, before you even come in on Wednesday, because Tuesday is the day off. You know Wednesday, I know there's at least 20 plays in here just for me. Mm-hmm. 20 pass plays for me. I know that. How do you feel then when you walk in on a Wednesday and there's not 20 pass plays for you? There's 10. Then how do you sort of react? It may be fine for a bit because you're getting acclimated to your new team. But after a while, when maybe you lose one or two here or there, three here or there, and then you're thinking like, man, I need to be targeted more. I can help, which you're probably right. You probably could help. But it's hard to go from 160-something per year to 95. And because you are a volume guy.
And I think that is part of the reason why the Titans brought him in,
mm-hmm.
is to talk about that.
To fill him out.
If you don't get 10 targets a game, mm-hmm. what is going to be your reaction?
Oh, he's going to tell. I mean, I can tell you what he said. He's cool with it.
Yeah, okay, cool with then it. Fine. Then you're going to be cool with it, because we'll pay you $10 million a year to be cool with it.
But just because I may be cool with it day one, come day 51 or 61, and it's October, and it's getting cold, or it's November, it's getting cold, and everybody's beat up, and we're not winning the games that we thought we were going to win, and the offense isn't looking the way that I thought it was going to look. I don't care what I said in July. Give me the damn ball, like Keyshawn Johnson said. Give me the damn ball. That's what you need to be doing. So, I mean, hey, it's one of those. And Vrabel, he could figure it out or whatnot. Tim Kelly could figure it out. But do you figure it out at the expense of Treylon Burks?
615-737-1025. And it's a fair question. We can get into that coming mm-hmm. up next. Plus, your thoughts. You've got a bunch of thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins. So we are right to those, right to your phones, coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, in 15 minutes. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Tennessee Titan. Let me tell you why. Whenever he landed in Nashville, and I assume he flew private, WNBA needs to do that.
Yep.
I assume he flew private to Nashville. He gets on a Sprinter van, okay? Gets on a Sprinter van, and in there, there's a nice TV. It says, welcome to Nashville.
Okay.
Look how cool you'd look right here.
Oh.
Okay, top of the line.
Pretty sweet.
Top of the line. Got the window open. He was enjoying his conversation with the driver. Probably giving him a tour around Nashville. Hey, right here, this is where Taylor Swift lives.
What?
Hey, right here is where Faith Hill lives.
What?
Hey, living with Faith Hill is actually Tim McGraw. Guess what? Tonight, you got all access to a Tim McGraw concert.
What?
Oh, yeah, no. You know, until you wear that cool hat you wear, DeAndre Hopkins. Wear it to this thing. You're going to have an absolute blast. And it's not just about the music. Wait until you feel the scene here in Nashville. Imagine what this place would be like if Titans were going on to win. We need you to get there. I mean, the pitch that Nashville and the Tennessee Titans are making to DeAndre Hopkins feels like one where Vrabel's like, okay, last GM, you saw it,
mm-hmm.
got rid of our guy. Okay, AJ Brown, you saw it happen.
Messed up.
Did you watch the video of me? Watch it back. I can voice over what I was thinking when the decision was made without my input being heard or anything. You hear me go, this actually. Mm-hmm. And then I get up and leave. So we need a guy. Okay, Derrick Henry can only do so much. Vrabel, what? Football genius, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if Vrabel's interested in DeAndre Hopkins, I think that says a lot, first of all.
Sure.
But also, I think this is from top down, the mistake that the last GM made, we need to fix. And if we fix it, we're heroes automatically. And D-Hop could be that for the Tennessee Titans.
That was Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday. Hey, the Titans rolling out the red carpet for DeAndre Hopkins. Pick you up in a Sprinter van with a picture of you in a Titans jersey. We'll bring you to a box for the Tim McGraw concert at CMA Fest. All that fun stuff. It's like a college-esque recruiting trip for DeAndre Hopkins with the Tennessee Titans. But what he said there at the end, that this is basically undoing the mistake that John Robinson made in trading A.J. Brown away, I don't know if I necessarily view it like that. I view it less of trying to erase a mistake and more of we just need a more oomph in the wide receiver room, and one of the best options in the league is out there for the taking.
Yeah, I don't see this as some type of, oh, we made a mistake and now we have to undo what we did or what was done, you know, 2 years ago. They did that by drafting Treylon Burks.
Right.
That's their, okay, we don't have AJ, we have Treylon. And Treylon, people, will be good. He's going to be a player. He's going to be a stud. Don't worry about it. See, that's when you start talking about this team and you're on the outside looking in, you don't realize that, you know, trading away A.J. Brown, it wasn't a good thing. But they drafted Treylon Burks to be his replacement. You know, that's where, okay, hopefully we get this right because we just traded away this guy. We're bringing in this guy, similar skill set, sort of the same type of player. He can get done in our offense what we need him to get done. Mm-hmm. We just got to get through this rookie season, get him going with what we want to do. He buys in, which I know he will. So the sort of, it was Treylon Burks. It's not D-Hop. You're not getting D-Hop because you say, well, the last GM messed up, so we need to get a receiver. No.
Right.
Last GM, that may have been wrong what he did, but they brought Treylon Burks in to sort of equalize all of that. It's not a D-Hop bringing him in because, oh, we got to bring him in because of what the last GM did. That makes no sense to me.
And you're not holding on a D-Hop for years and years.
No,
it's not
exactly.
Like you're replacing.
It's only
AJ
like
Brown.
A 1 year, possibly maybe 2 years.
2 years if D-Hop is lucky. I view it like we feel like we can win this year, but we don't have a good enough wide receiver room, so we're going to go out and we're going to try to get DeAndre Hopkins. It's not undoing a bad deed.
I completely agree with both of you guys. I don't think that crosses Rand Carthon's mind at all. Now, Mike Vrabel, I think, you know, he might see an opportunity to get a good player to make his team better. You should be looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be at the right price. And you can't go chasing and overdo it for any reason. It was a flashy take, I guess, but you know that's what McAfee Show does.
Yeah.
It's fun. Here's a question I have. This to me and Derek. I don't know if this is something that you experienced when you were looking for another team. I mean, because you were well into your career, right?
Yes.
But I would think some players might actually enjoy the whole just for their ego or whatever, just to make a statement. I wonder what impact it has, if any, if. You know, if you are going to great lengths to make efforts to say, hey, this isn't going to just be a business. You come into Nashville. We're going to show you the town. We're going to roll out the red carpet, whatever you want to know. Do you think that has an impact at all? Or is it, hey, just show me the contract?
No, I mean, not. I'm not going to say it doesn't have an impact, but I don't think the impact is as big as what people think. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this thing is, listen, I'm coming here to play football. I'm not coming here to do all this
right.
other stuff.
I'm not going to concerts.
Day.
I mean, maybe I'll go to a concert. Every NFL market has concerts.
Exactly. So I'm not coming here to do all of this stuff. As a matter of fact, I may not even be here the next time the CMAs come around. You know? So it's like, you are doing this because listen, you have time to fill. So he comes in Sunday. You're not going to meet with them specifically like tour stuff until Monday. So Sunday he comes in midday. You got to have something for him to do. You just don't want him sitting in the hotel. Goodness gracious. I mean, that's not a good, you're not being a gracious host. So what do? CMAs. Just so happened the CMAs is around the corner. It's here. So you take him out so he can enjoy the night. So you can sort of get into tomorrow what we want to get into. I mean, that stuff was cool, but he ain't making his decision based on that.
And it also, to be fair, and not to discredit anything that the Titans did mm-hmm. for DeAndre Hopkins that at least was publicized on D-Hop's Instagram, mm-hmm. those things are pretty easy to do.
Exactly.
To organize a Sprinter van to pick you up, to Photoshop yeah. a picture of you wearing a Titans jersey. Yeah. CMAs were at Nissan Stadium.
Duh.
It looked like they were in Amy Adams Strunk's box. So those are all things that are like, hey, we're getting D-Hop in. We want to give him a good weekend. We're not going to bend over backwards and do somersaults to make sure that all of the top Michelin
you
star chefs
gracious,
are giving
gracious
you.
Gracious host. That's just what
you were.
A
gracious host. Exactly.
So all you were.
Let's get into some of your thoughts, your texts, your phone calls, 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. LD from McMinnville texts in and says, thanks for the stats, Willie. But now tell me how many times Hopkins was doubled or bracketed, and who were the DBs, and did those DBs have an exceptional game when covering Hopkins?
Well, it's a good question. Obviously, I don't have all the answers of that. It's interesting, their season – you know, they were struggling from the get-go. I guess I never saw that offense get the rhythm that it had the year before. For example, in 2021, if you remember, they were at one point in the season 10-2, right? They lost five of the last six. So when they were 10-2 and DeAndre Hopkins, before he got hurt, you know, that was an offense. That was a team that was going on, right? They were 7-0. They were winning games. They were still 10-2. Remember how they destroyed the Titans in the first game of the year? That was a nightmare for Tennessee. But after that, they kind of lost the whole mojo thing. So I do think that's a fair thing for DeAndre Hopkins to say is, look, as a wide receiver, there are some things that you're relying upon, right? You're dependent upon a good offense, a good coordinator, a good quarterback, and that will affect your numbers. So it wasn't just that he got hurt. It wasn't just the PEDs, although all of these things are things to consider for sure. At age 31, you know, will he have the ability to bounce back and be worth what you're willing to pay for him? But okay. It's a really good question. But obviously, again, you can't look at some website and say, yes, he was doubled on 35% of the times and all that stuff. But Derek, give me your thoughts on it.
No. I was just going to say quickly, I mean, this is not something he's not used to. The problem here is that when you were being double team and triple team, because you were when you were in Houston, mm-hmm. because you were that dude, when you were double team, you still had the ability to get the ball. You're still young enough, no history of injuries or anything else. So your play was a little bit different. Fast forward some years later, you may not be able to shake double teams as easily as you did 5 years before. Maybe you're not able to go up, you know, for that pass versus double team that you were able to go up against 5 years ago. So when a caller says, well, how many times was he doubled and this and that, he's always more than likely going to be double. That's
He's
just
DeAndre
the way
Hopkins.
Yeah, that's just the way on certain downs, not every down will he be doubled, but I guarantee you on third down, yes, he will be doubled. So then how do you as a player, if you're able to get open versus double coverage as a player, then okay. But if you're not, then you know, we gotta find somebody else to go to. So when people throw out the double team and stuff like that, I'm like, listen, this is something he's used to. He's been used to double team. So you can't say, well, he was double team last year, that's why he didn't have as many catches, or that's why the sort of the numbers bared out the way that they did and where he was ranked 70-something. But this is something that he's been used to his whole career.
That's what makes elite players elite.
Exactly.
Elite wide receivers, even when they get doubled, they're still able to make plays. Mm-hmm. Something that DeAndre Hopkins has been on posters for.
Absolutely.
Joe Burrow being able to overcome a horrendous offensive line and getting to the Super Bowl. That is what makes elite players elite. But I do think that the context is important. Whether it's getting double teamed, whether it's playing against the top defense in the NFL, whether it's catching passes from Trace McSorley or Colt McCoy, those all kind of play into the story of the number, not just the number itself. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins visiting the Tennessee Titans. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save